God's grace and peace be with you today from God our Father and the Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Today I'd like to talk with you about authority, especially the authority of the Christian. Let's start out by looking at a reading from Mark chapter 4 about our Lord. We read, "On that day Jesus got into a boat with his disciples and said, 'Let's go across to the other side.' And leaving the crowd, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was, and other boats were with him. And a great storm of wind arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that the boat was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a cushion. And they woke him and said, 'Teacher, do you not care if we perish?' And he awoke and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, 'Peace, be still.' And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. He said to them, 'Why are you afraid? Have you no faith?' And they were filled with awe and said to one another, 'Who then is this that even wind and sea obey him?'" Friends, if we're going to talk about authority today, I think we've come to the right man. Jesus commands the wind and the sea, and they obey him. That's amazing. But today, I'd like to especially talk with you about the authority of the Christian, the believer in Jesus Christ. Do you think that you also have great authority as a believer in Christ? Or are you just some powerless little peon in the midst of a storm-tossed sea at the will of wind and wave? Or as a Christian, can you change the weather? Can you cast out demons? Can you heal the sick and do such things as that? Yes, today I'd like to talk with you about the authority of the Christian. And do you know how much authority God has given to you? So let's take a look at that today in the Bible, because that's the place where we're going to find the answer about what God has said to us about the authority of the Christian in his holy word. So, first off, let's ask this question. What is authority? We ought to know and define that before we get anywhere here. What is authority after all? What's it mean to be an authority and to have authority? Well, just a moment ago, we read this word about our Lord Jesus Christ on a boat in a storm. And the winds and the waves were getting darker, wilder, more ominous by the moment. The boat was filling and the disciples were freaking out. "We're going to die! We're going to die!" And they wake Jesus. He stands up and he rebukes the sea. And he rebukes the wind. "Peace! Be still." And there was a great calm. Friends, that is authority. And how do we define it then? It is, and listen to this, it's the right to command and to enforce obedience. Notice Jesus, although he prayed his whole life and prayed all the time, he didn't say, "Oh God, please, if it be your will, get rid of this storm and make it calm and make us more happy." He spoke to the wind. He rebuked the sea. He said, "You, be still." And he had the right to command and to enforce obedience. The wind and the sea obeyed his voice. And so that's authority, the right to command, and authority to do so and to enforce obedience if necessary. So that's authority. Now we need to ask another question, though, here, if we're going to understand our own authority. Where did Jesus get his authority? Now, yeah, that's the right answer. It's interesting. A lot of us think, oh, Jesus had all this authority just by himself. It was his own authority. But you know what the scripture says differently? Jesus says differently, and we need to understand where authority comes from and how it works. Check it out. Here's the answer. John chapter 5, Jesus is talking. He says, "Truly, truly, I say to you," "truly, truly, I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord." Say nothing.
Nothing.
"Of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever he does, that the Son does likewise. for the Father loves the Son. And he shows him all that himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, so also the Son gives life to whom he will. The Father judges no one, but has given all judgment to the Son. Say, given. That all may honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted, say granted, the Son also to have life in himself, and has given, say given, given him authority to execute judgment, because he's the Son of Man. So where did Jesus get his authority? Was it his own? It was God's authority that God the Father granted to his Son Jesus Christ, because he's the Son of God, the Messiah, the Christ, the Savior of the world, and it was God's good pleasure to give him the authority so that Jesus can speak to the sea and the wind of the sea, obey him, thus proving he's the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Consider these other words of Jesus to back it up. John 14, Jesus says, "The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me does his works." John 5, "I can do nothing on my own authority. As I hear, I judge." John 8, "When you've lifted up the Son of Man, you'll know that I'm he, and I do nothing on my own authority, but speak thus as my Father has taught me." And so how can we look at this? A deputy pulls you over on the highway, and he comes in and he has his badge on there. Does he pull you over by his own authority as Joe Smith? No, he pulls you over by the authority of the government that has given him the authority and the power to turn those lights on and write you a ticket. The right to command and to enforce obedience. And I'll tell you, all authority resides in God. God is the source of all authority, for he is over all things. And he gives authority to whom he will. And he gave it to Jesus Christ, if you want to think of it this way, as a deputy. He delegated his authority out. A deputy, by definition, is a person appointed as a substitute with the power to act in the place of the sheriff in the sheriff's absence. A second in command who takes charge when his or her superior is absent. And Jesus was given fantastic authority by God our Father. What kinds of things could Jesus do with his authority? Let's recount the power of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 4, Simon Peter, his mother-in-law was sick. She had a fever, a high fever, and the disciples besought Jesus for her. We read, "And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and immediately she rose and served them." I want you to note something here. Jesus prayed his whole life, and we're to pray for healing, okay? Did Jesus stand over her and say, "Oh God, please, if it be your will, would you help her feel better?" What did he say? It says he rebuked the fever because he had the authority to speak to it, and the fever had to obey and leave. That's what the scripture says. He rebuked the fever, and immediately she rose and served them. So he had power over diseases. He also had power over demons and evil spirits. And immediately there was in the synagogue, Mark chapter 1, a man with an unclean spirit, an evil spirit. He cried out, "What have you to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? I know who you are, the Holy One of God. Have you come to destroy us?" But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be silent and come out of him." Authority. And the unclean spirit, convulsing him and crying with a loud voice, came out. And they were all amazed, and they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? A new teaching? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." Once again, it's good for us to pray for the deliverance of people. That's a holy thing. But when you have authority deputized by God, you can speak to the unclean spirit and say, you, come out. And it must obey and come out because you've been vested with authority, such as Jesus' case. How about this authority to forgive sins? Mark chapter 9, Jesus says, take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven you. Remember that paralytic who was let down through the roof? Take heart, my son, your sins are forgiven. The scribes hated. They didn't like that. They murmured. They said, this man's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God only? Jesus, knowing the evil thoughts that they had, said, which is easier to say, to rise and walk to this paralytic who can't walk? Or is it easier for me to say, your sins are forgiven? But so that you may know that the Son of Man has, say it, authority, you can preach this, on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed and go home. The man took up his bed and walked. Notice he spoke to him with the authority he had. The man stood up, and thereby we also know he has the authority on earth to forgive sins. Authority. How about to raise the dead? He went to the little girl, 12 years old, Talitha Kumai. He says, little girl, I say to you, arise. I say to you. And immediately the girl got up and walked. She was 12 years of age. And they were immediately overcome with amazement. Do you know all of Jesus' words when he spoke were with authority? He taught them as one who had authority and not as their scribes who had to say, Rabbi so-and-so says this, Rabbi so-and-so says that. Jesus says, you've heard it said this, but I say to you this, authority. And when the officers went back to the chief priests and the Pharisees, they were supposed to arrest Jesus. And the chief priest said, why didn't you bring Jesus? The officers answered, no man ever spoke like this man. This man spoke with authority. So, that's Jesus' authority, given him by God. Deputized, if you will, by God the Father to carry out the work of the Messiah as Savior. That's Jesus' authority, but now what about yours? Do Christians have authority? And do you use it, or do you think you're going around like some penniless peon on a storm-tossed sea? Well, what do we read here in Acts chapter 19 about the apostles going around? Did they go around with authority? Acts chapter 19, verse 11. God did extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were carried away from his body to the sick, and diseases left them and evil spirits came out of them. Would you say that's authority? Say that authority. Okay, but then we notice then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to pronounce the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this. But the evil spirit answered them, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them, mastered all of them, overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You see, friends, there's a big difference whether you wear the badge or not. Just anybody going to come up driving behind you in the street and pull you over? Are you going to pull over because my car, a 1996 beat up Isuzu Rodeo, is flashing lights at you? No way. You're going to pull over when you see those red and blue lights because you know that person has authority. These guys say, Jesus I know, I certainly know Paul, they're deputized, but who are you? And they overran these guys and overpowered them, sent them out naked and whipped, gave them a whooping. So not everybody, friends, has authority on earth. Who has authority? I'll answer that. Those who believe in Jesus Christ and are saved. Colossians chapter 1, we hear the gospel. God has delivered us from the dominion of darkness. But of course, that word dominion in the Greek is exousia, which means authority. God has delivered us from the authority of darkness, and he has transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. You've been removed from one authority, bondage. Now you've been placed into Christ. Friends, you got to understand, you've been deputized if you're a believer in Jesus Christ and you're in his kingdom. A lot of us don't go around as if we're wearing a badge, even though God's put it on you. You don't know it, but I want you to hear something here. Matthew chapter 10, Jesus called the 12 disciples, and it says he gave them authority. He, the deputy of God, deputized others with his own authority in order that they might cast out, it says, authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal every disease and every affliction. Paul went up to the slave girl, remember in the children's sermon I was talking about, and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, come out. And out it had to come because he had authority. Jesus, again, we read here when he was resurrected, he said, as the Father has sent me, even so I send you. In other words, as the Father deputized me, I deputize you. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, they're forgiven. If you retain the sins of any, they are retained. So we have the power to cast out demons. We have the power to heal diseases. We have the power to forgive sins, because that's been conferred upon us, not because you're anybody, but because you have been brought into Christ and given authority to pronounce forgiveness to those who repent and believe the gospel, or to withhold it from those who do not repent. Okay? Do you think you can change the weather? Or is that stretching our authority too much? James says, the prayer of a righteous man has great power in its effects. Elijah was a man just like yourselves, same nature as you. He prayed fervently that it might not rain, and for 3 years and 6 months it didn't rain on the earth. Your power is great, even to affect the weather. To raise the dead, the apostles did that. Peter went to Dorcas, put everybody else outside and knelt down and prayed over her dead body. Then turning to the body, he said to the body, Tabitha, rise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. Notice, he prayed prior to, so we're always covering ourselves in prayer, but then he uses his deputized authority, speaks to the body, and says, get up. And it has to obey. Because guess what? When you have authority, Joe Smith pulls you over as deputy in the highway. It's not his own personal authority, but the fact that the government backs him up in anything he does when he's executing his mission. When you as a Christian are going forth in the name of Christ to preach the gospel and to save souls and to do good, you have the authority of Jesus behind you who deputized you. You have the authority of God behind Jesus who deputized him to accomplish whatever you command. In the name of Jesus, whatever you command, the right to command and to enforce obedience if force be necessary. Do you have that kind of authority? Jesus says, John 14, truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me will also do the works that I do. And greater works than these will he do, because I go to the Father. And whatever you ask in my name, I'll do it, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. In my
name,
I will
do it.
Absolutely. So it's not your power. If you're feeling powerless today, it's not like, oh, I wonder if I can. It's you've been given the authority to, and it's Jesus, and it's God the Father who will accomplish whatever you command in the name of Jesus Christ, O deputies of the Lord. Now, I want you to understand something. The devil does not want you to know that you have this authority. He wants you to go around, like I said, like you're some powerless person on a storm-tossed boat with no authority. He doesn't want you to realize that this has been pinned as a badge upon you as a believer in Jesus Christ. And in fact, we're a lot like that young man who started bagging groceries at Walmart. And a woman came in with a complaint. She said, "I want to speak with someone around here with a little authority." The lowly bag boy heard it and said, "Well, ma'am, I guess you come to the right man. I got about as little authority around here as anybody." Right? That should not be what we say as Christians. We don't have little authority, but the devil wants you to think you have little authority. I was watching an Andy Griffith show where Barney Fife tried to go up, and you know Barney, he tried to run off two guys who were illegally selling produce on the side of the road. He tried to go in with some authority at first, and these guys were bigger than he was. They bullied him, they intimidated him. He ran back to his squad car and raced away in a cloud of dust because he was afraid to use his authority. Do you guys feel like that as Christians? Do you understand that when you say and command something in Jesus Christ, that is not backed up by you only, but by Jesus and by God, who says, "Whatever you ask in my name, I will do it. You will do even greater works than I did," Jesus says. "Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me," that's the person who has authority, "will also do the works that I do, and greater than these will he do, because I go to the Father." Now, whenever you're a deputy, you need to use your authority in accordance with the jurisdiction that has been given to you, right? You can't just go and down to the donut shop and command them to give you donuts. Not that they do that, right? You use it in order to do what? To enforce justice, to uphold the law, to protect the weak, to apprehend the bad guys, to fulfill your mission and your purpose. And when God has deputized you, he has given you authority for the purpose that he has given you of proclaiming his gospel. Jesus, before he sent his apostles out, reminded them, he says, "All authority," say all.
All.
"All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me," deputized, right? "And now I send you, deputies, to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, baptizing in my name, teaching everyone to obey, and I am with you always to the close of the age." Do you lay hold of that? Listen to what happened. Once I heard this on the radio, there was an evangelistic outreach, and these people had prepared for a long time to reach the lost in a great Billy Graham-like event. They'd rented an NFL stadium, and the pastors noticed that there were clouds coming in. A great storm they could see was heading to the stadium, and it was going to wash out all of their months of work. Well, they were all about ready to give up, till an old lady stepped forward and said, "Oh Lord, we've prepared this to further your great commission. You know the work we've put into this to reach the lost with the gospel of your Son. Bless now our meeting, and I say to those storms, storm clouds, part." And this pastor, as a first eyewitness, said, "No duh, the clouds came, they split, they rained on both sides of the stadium, and came back together on the other side and continued on their way." We have the power, friends, in the name of Jesus Christ. I'll give you a personal testimony in my life. Sometimes when I'm preparing a sermon, not often, but sometimes I feel evil spirits coming against me. In fact, I don't know if you've experienced this, I feel the hair right here in the back of my head start to tingle and kind of raise up a little bit. I'm like, it's just this eerie feeling. And I know, I've felt it before, I know what it is. And I know they're trying to stop me from preparing. So what do? I turn around and say, "You evil spirits, why do you make crooked the straight paths of the Lord? Be gone and hinder not the straight paths of the Lord." And usually they go right away. Sometimes they don't. But guess what? When a police officer pulls over someone on the road, usually they comply. Sometimes they don't want to. Maybe you have a drug dealer a very big mobster. The disciples had this problem. Once the people, a crowd, brought a person to Jesus whose son was covered by a demon. And he used to grind his teeth and became rigid and foam. And they said, "We brought it to your disciples, but they could not cast it out. They were not able." Other demons, they were casting out no problems. Jesus says here, some are harder and stronger and more difficult to cast. You need to use your authority with greater faith, right? Just like Barney, he goes up, he gets run off by these guys. I'll show you a clip at the end of this service where he stands up to them later with more authority. But we need to stand up with more authority. Jesus then said, they said to him, "If you can do anything, have pity and help us." Jesus said, "If you can, all things are possible to him who believes." And they rebuked the spirit. The boy fell down, foamed. Out it came, and the child was healed. And then the disciples later said, "Why couldn't we cast it out with our authority?" Jesus said, "This kind can't be driven out by anything but prayer." And he says, "If you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can say to a mountain, 'Be removed,' and it'll obey you." All right? So sometimes, I want you to know, when you're deputies and something doesn't work because you've used your authority, guess what? The evil that we're up against sometimes is strong and does not want to budge and wants to test your authority. So what do? You realize that you are a deputy, you are in authority, you go back with faith, and you exercise it again. Just like if a drug dealer is pulled over by a deputy, a police officer, and he says, "I'm not going anywhere," the deputy doesn't just shrug his shoulders and say, "Oh, well, I tried." He gets back in there and says, "Look, this is my badge. There is great authority behind me, and I'm going to insist upon this." And if the person continues to resist, as they do sometimes with force, then the officer uses his force and his sidearm and puts the person into submission. Authority, remember, defined is the right to command and to enforce obedience. And God has given you the right to command and to enforce obedience in the name of Jesus Christ, to further justice, to help the weak, to protect those who need protecting, to arrest the bad guys, and to further his gospel in the world. And it's by the name of Jesus Christ. "Silver and gold have I none," says Peter, "but what I give you, what I have in the name of the law, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, walk." And the man jumped up and walked and ran and leapt for joy at the power that flowed into him. So should we be praying as Christians? All the time. But I want you to understand the scriptures also say we're to speak to things. Jesus rebuked the fever. Jesus spoke to the wind and the sea, rebuking it. Jesus commanded demons. Jesus said, "If you say to this mountain..." Not, "Oh God, please remove this mountain," although that's good too. But if you say to this mountain, "Be removed," it must obey you if you believe and do not doubt in your heart. That's why Paul says, "May your eyes of your hearts be enlightened to know the immeasurable greatness of his power in us who believe." You know, the same powers that work in you that raised Jesus from the dead and that made Jesus sit at God's right hand in the heavenly places, far above, say far.
Far.
Far above all rule and authority, say authority.
Authority.
And every power and dominion, and above every name that's named, not only in this age, but that which is to come. Now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren has been thrown down. He who accuses them day and night before God, that's the devil. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. Your power derives from Jesus' death and resurrection, where he threw down to the accuser of the brethren, the devil. And so now you have been given deputization. You're deputized. The 70 return with joy, saying, "Lord, Even the demons are subject to us in your name. And Jesus said, behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. Nevertheless, don't rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven. O deputies, use the authority that God has given you for his gospel. Amen.